Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. The second fundamental to keep in mind when analyzing and resolving problems using an ethological approach is the concept of positive probabilities. This may be boiled down to a simple statement that no matter how bizarre an animal's behavior appears to us, it represents the minimum that animal must do to achieve physical and behavioral stability in that environment. Last week we spoke about energy, and this week we talk about how it shows up in behavior. If a dog has to leap and carry on and bark like crazy and turn himself inside out every time someone comes to the door, that represents the minimum that dog has to do at that time to achieve physiological and behavioral stability. When we recognize that a behavior displayed by an animal represents the minimum amount of energy to achieve stability in that particular environment at that particular time, it helps neutralize any negative emotions we may have about that behavior. If we take this approach, we can say, I don't know what that behavior means to her. It makes no sense to me, but I know if she's displaying it, it represents what she needs to do to achieve stability at this time. Or we can say, that damn dog, she chewed that book because she knows how much I care about it, and my gloves and my shoes too. She's just doing it to be spiteful and mean. Which response do you think is the most likely to support the consistent program of change necessary to affect behavioral change? I think most people would agree that it's the first one and not the second one. As soon as we take a negative behavior personally, we get ourselves in a bind. For one thing, it takes a lot more energy to sustain negative emotions than to be neutral about a situation. For another, if we position an animal as stupid, mean, spiteful for doing something, that really doesn't give us much incentive to solve the problem, does it? It positions the animal as some kind of devious little monster. But it also positions us as the kind of person who would earn that type of behavior from an animal. Either way, who would want to help an animal that they feel is spiteful or mean or stupid? It would be a waste of energy, right? We might start out thinking, oh, it's just a dog, it's just a cat, for heaven's sakes, I can do this. But after 2 or 3 days, maybe a week at most, the energy of making those consistent changes, why should we waste that energy when that spiteful or mean or stupid animal, it's their fault. They did it. We didn't chew the shoes. We didn't pee on the bed. But when we look at it in terms of ethology and in terms of energy, we can eliminate those negative emotions. And when we eliminate those negative emotions, we free up a tremendous amount of energy to focus on the problem. By reducing the animal's problem behavior and our response to it to a normal consequence representing the most energy efficient way for either one of us to achieve stability in that environment, we can free up a lot of energy that we're going to need to successfully solve the problem.
You've been been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.